Okay, so hello everyone. My name is Vikas Agrawal. I'm the founder of AIF and PMS Experts India. So we are emerging as one of the largest platforms for investing in alternate investments and portfolio management services. To know more, you can visit AIFPMS.com and you will get the details. So as you know that some of you who have joined here and some of you have joined here for the first time may not know that at AIF and PMS Experts India, we run this series called Ask the Expert series, where we invite the industry experts. We try and read their mind, understand what are they trying to achieve and how differently they do. An idea is to learn from their wisdom and implement those learnings in our day-to-day life, which is very important. So in last 3 years, we would have done more than 120 interviews so far, and I get a lot of feedback from a lot of investors, and they're able to take the benefit of these webinars. So firstly, I would like to thank all of you for taking the time out and joining this session. So with me, I have perhaps the youngest portfolio manager of India. So it's absolutely my pleasure of sort of interacting with him and introducing him. So hello, Siddharth, how are you?
Very good. Thank you so much.
All right.
This platform is going to create a lot of information and insights for all the viewers, right?
Right.
So it's a good agenda that we've taken up.
Right. So last time we invited Amisha and we interacted with her and had a great time. We talked about economy to become $10 trillion. You know, people talk about $5 trillion, $6 trillion, $7 trillion.
Yeah.
Very few are able to visualize those numbers, and she was one of them. So great, Siddharth. So we'll kickstart the session now. So the format is very simple. I'm going to introduce you and then we'll have a detailed discussion. I'll be asking you 2 questions about what you do, how you do. And then if you have any presentation to share, you can, I'll give you the rights and you can share the presentation also.
If needed, I will. Otherwise, yeah. I think the Q&A format should suffice.
Okay. Maybe if you wish to share 1 or 2 slides on
sure.
How did you develop your own strategy, perhaps okay. You can do so. Right. All right. So Siddharth is head of investment strategy and he's also fund manager for PMS at Prabhudas Liladhar. So since joining Prabhudas Liladhar in 2016, Siddharth Vora has become an integral part of the group's new edge business initiative. He spearheaded the PL's foray into the quantitative asset management space. Currently, he heads the quantitative investment strategy division and also the fund manager for group's portfolio management schemes. So, you know, Siddharth brings about all, he's been now there with the group for almost 7 years now as we speak. He brings about almost a decade of experience on the table. Having worked on both the sides of the table, particularly last 3-4 years, he's been instrumental in terms of defining the investment philosophy of the PMS schemes, who are both on the quantitative side as well as on the multi-cap side. In fact, his area of focus is always on asset allocation, and he has built a very fantastic model around the asset allocation, because what investors eventually do not like is the roller coaster ride, you know. And if you can utilize the benefit of doing a proper asset allocation, you know, which eventually changes depending upon how the market behaves. And you, when you have these parameters already defined, it will give you a lot of, you know, flexibility to change the asset allocation depending upon how the markets are behaving, because that's not in your control. What is there in your control is your own thought process and your own methodology through which you can really ride through the growth journey of Indian capital markets. So what we're going to do is, Siddharth, I'm not going to take too much of time. I'll come to you directly. So firstly, thank you so much for accepting our request and taking the time out and agreed to speak to all our investors. So there are investors who have joined here and listening to you. Thank you. So my first question is, can you talk to us about, Siddharth, mm-hmm. your experience of working with the group for over 7.5-8 years now? And also, what is it that you are trying to do for the last 3-4 years, particularly on the quant side?
Sure. So since I joined the group back in 16, 17, sometime then, my key area of learning was focused on investment research. Of course, that's your starting point in this field. So I worked on the institutional equity research side as well, and on the investment strategy research side as well. And on investment strategy, what we really did was we actually published a whole series of newsletters and research reports on global legendary investors, decoding their framework, their investment framework, into very objective points and trying to apply that in the Indian context with Indian case studies. So that series was called Acumen. So that is what we started with. And then as I got, 2 years of good solid research experience, what I then realized is that India and PL is both lacking a very significant piece of the global investment landscape, which is the whole quantitative research and asset management piece. Because as markets evolve and as markets become more efficient and as the participation increases, globally, what we've seen is more money is managed passively and quantitatively than actively. In India, the landscape is entirely different. We have more active managers and very less passive and quant. So just to put this in numbers, so US has 35% plus of all assets managed quantitatively, close to 45 to 50% of assets managed passively, and a meager like 20% below, somewhere below 20% managed actively. In US itself, the number 30 years back was 78% for active managers. And that has come below 20%. So this is a structural shift from active to passive and quant. And obviously, the reasons for these are active management brings schema and risk. It brings a lot of high cost as well in terms of managing money. And passive at the other side neither brings you very high cost nor brings you any risk of underperformance. It's simply tracking different indices. And as per your risk appetite, you choose the right index and you write the story, right? Quant, on the other hand, is a very nice blend or a middle ground between active and passive. It's active and dynamic in nature in terms of how the portfolios are constructed or rebalanced. They are mostly benchmark agnostic. At the same time, it is systematic, rules-based, objective, process-driven, which means it is not, exposed to the emotional, behavioral, and style biases that active managers bring on board with them. So with that, all our strategies at PL that we've developed over the last 4 years on this quantitative side, all are based on the principle of being adaptive. So whether it's our multi-asset dynamic portfolio or it's Aqua, our equity portfolio, both the strategies thrive on the principles of being adaptive across assets, across styles, across sectors, across risk regimes. Because we've realized after years of research that not one style of investing, such as value or growth or quality or momentum, works across market cycles. Markets operate in regimes and styles also operate in regimes. To give you an example, so when the economy is on a very stable growth footing, ideally a growth style of investing should do well. But when the interest rates are going up or when the liquidity is getting crunched out of the system, a value style of investing would do better. Similarly, when there is uncertainty or bearishness in the market, a quality or low vol style of investing would do better. And when there is a lot of liquidity in the system, the phase we saw post-COVID, momentum style of investing does better. So what happens with a quantitative setup is you can actually map these styles. Your macro models can identify style regimes and align your portfolio to these style regimes. When you're trying to do this actively, it is really, really not possible to keep changing your style as time progresses, right? I cannot behave like a value fund manager for a year and then a growth fund manager the next year and then a quality manager the next year. So what happens is we need a strategy that can navigate the complexities of these market cycles by being adaptive. So even in terms of asset allocation, you can adapt, say, in a certain cycle, you're heavy on equities. In another cycle, you're heavy on gold. Within equities, some cycles you're heavy on mid and small. Another cycle, you're heavy on large caps. You're heavy on international equities. So there are multiple ways to dynamically move your assets or move your portfolio in line with market regimes. So Aqua, which is standing for Adaptive Quantitative Unbiased Alpha, is a flexi-cap equity PMS, which offers investors India's first style agnostic and style adaptive PMS.
So the underlying is direct equities, right?
For Aqua, the underlying is direct equities listed in India only, from broadly from the top 500 by market cap universe of India. So it's a multi-cap universe, but the strategy itself is a flexi cap strategy.
So talk to us about how do you analyze these, that what percentage of money should go towards gold as an asset class, and what percentage of money should remain be there on equities? Because this is the question which most of the investors are very, very curious to know.
Sure. So in Aqua, we unfortunately don't take any exposure to gold or other asset classes. It's basically just large cap, mid cap, small cap. And in some cycles, we create some cash as well to protect the portfolio when there is a systemic risk. That is when we take a cash call. But the models help us take the cash call. In our world, we don't take anything, we don't take any calls actively. Everything is happening with the models itself. And we are taking a quantum mental approach or a man with machine approach, where we are saying that we want to combine the human intelligence, the human understanding of capital markets, fundamental analysis, technical analysis, macro analysis, but use machines to build these rules, test these rules, and create a strategy out of it. We don't let the machines build the rules. We are not following any machine learning or artificial intelligence. It is real intelligence programmed with the help of computers. That is how we are going about it. So gold exposures are usually in our multi-asset portfolio, not in our equity portfolios. And Aqua is an equity portfolio. So in multi-asset, we use multiple quantitative indicators, macro indicators, technical indicators, fundamental indicators to gauge whether at a given point of time the world is in a risk-on mode or a risk-off mode. Should we be better off staying in risk-off assets? If yes, we build exposure to gold. So the way we go about constructing our multi-asset portfolio, we first take equity as our base asset class, right? So we have a host of indicators that give us an equity strength. These range from valuations, monetary dynamics, sentiment, volatility, macro indicators, which give us a total score as to how much equity exposure is viable at a given point of time. The balance exposure is allocated to non-equity assets such as gold, such as fixed income, etc. Now, within fixed income and gold also, we have a model that gauges the relative attractiveness of both these assets. And based on that, we decide how much to allocate to gold. So multiple indicators, right? From DXY oriented indicators, copper gold indicators, momentum indicators on gold, volatility of risk on basket versus risk on basket. We have like eight, nine indicators that tell us at any given point of time how attractive is gold and how much allocation should be allocated to it. And we're only able to do this because we've tested it through market cycles.
Okay, so coming back to your equity PMS, which is your Aqua, can you talk to us and show if you can share a slide about the parameters that you use? Sorry, when portfolio generates cash in the portfolio, because you never know at some point of time you talked about certain parameters like market P. At 25 P also market looks cheap sometimes. And at 20 also it looks expensive. It's a very subjective matter. If you
Right.
can throw some more lights on that, Siddharth.
You wanted to understand more about how we create cash in the portfolio?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we do here is we use indicators ranging from market breadth based valuations, overall momentum between the different asset classes, lot of trend indicators, a set of volatility indicators to understand at a given point of time if there is systemic risk. Systemic risk means irrespective of which stock you are in, you're going to lose money. So there are very few instances where market shows systemic risk. So we categorize risk into four sources: systemic, sectoral, style, and stock. These are the four sources of risk that we face while investing, right? So creating cash is our answer to dealing with systemic risk, but we also deal with all the other three risks. In the framework itself, we deal with all the other three risks. So we have two key principles within Aqua. One is sector rotation and style alignment, which we do on a dynamic basis because we believe bulk of the returns, close to 73% of returns, are enhanced by your sector rotation decision. And close to 69% of your returns are enhanced by the style alignment decision. So what we do is we've created the model in a very, very dynamic way so that on a regular basis, we review whether we are in the right set of sectors, whether we are having the right style tilt in the portfolio, right? At some point, we need to have a value tilt. At some point, we need to have a growth tilt, or at some point, we need to have a momentum tilt. So we make sure that our portfolio is managing these two risks based on dynamism. The stock-specific risk also we are handling based on our time-based systems to make sure that only the top 25 stocks, based on all the scoring we've done, come into our portfolio at any given point in time. So if a stock is losing its score, it automatically goes out of the portfolio. And therefore, being unbiased in terms of exiting stocks also helps us create sustainable alpha over cycles. Now, coming to your systemic risk. So the call here is if our models see that there's a 5-10% correction, we don't see that as a systemic risk. Usually, systemic risk is when more than 80% of the stocks in the market are actually correcting. So when the breadth is so low, that is when you don't find opportunities to invest in Indian equities. And that is the time we want to move to cash. And as the breadth ratio keeps improving, we then want to come back. So to give you an example of, say, some indicators, we have a global indices indicator here, where we track close to 20 global equity indices. And what we do here is calculate a returns, volatility, and beta ratio of, sorry, not beta, returns and volatility ratio of all these indices to see if this ratio is moving under some significant EMAs. We are gauging that most of the global equity indices are not doing well, and therefore, this can be classified as a global systemic equity risk. And that is when we want to move to cash. This is one of the indicators. Like this, we have nine indicators in our model. When six out of nine indicators tell us that, okay, there is systemic risk at a given point of time, is when we move to cash. We create between 30-50% cash when we perceive that there is some systemic risk in the market.
Okay, but what if sometimes they are misguiding, as in, for example, the volatility index gone up across the globe in 2-3 months back, but India was doing well,
Exactly. So
resilient.
one indicator can misguide, but when you have a host of indicators to diverse indicators, right? Every indicator is built in a very diverse way. It confirms a different thing. When we have multiple indicators trying to confirm the same thing, only then we take a call. Otherwise, I would have said that, okay, out of nine indicators, even if two tell me create cash, I will create cash. But that's not how we go. We wait for most of the indicators to create cash, which means if there is a 50% odd correction likely to happen in the market, we might not save the first 15% also, or we might not save the first 18%. But even if we can save half, right, that is also good enough for a long-only equity strategy.
So it's a
To give
discretion
you
of
an
the fund management.
example, in 2008, in our back-tested model, when markets corrected 64 odd percent, Aqua showed a drawdown, a peak drawdown in 2008 of close to 40%. So of course we corrected 40% in 2008, but that was much lower than the markets itself. But despite managing this risk and going through these couple of cycles, the historical returns suggest that it's over 10 years, it's generated 31% as opposed to benchmark of 14%, generating an alpha of close to 16-17% net of cost, net of fees, etc. And even if I look at my live performance since we've gone live, it's been more than 3 months now. We've been in the top three flexi-cap PMSs in India consistently for each of these 3 months. We've consistently generated alpha between 3-6% in each of these 3 months. And since inception, we've done close to 22.7% versus benchmark at 8%. So we've generated significant alpha of 15% since inception as well.
So ultimately, it's a discretion of the fund manager, right, to decide and take a final call.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So we work with a team of 16 people here. We have mathematicians, fundamental analysts, economists, macro analysts, technical analysts, risk analysts, Python programmers, and a host of other people, right, who bring very specialized scientific knowledge of a certain financial domain and of the programming domain, of the tech domain. So that's the kind of team we have. Our job is to actually build and test these strategies, models, indicators, signals, and put it all together. Once we build the strategy model, test it rigorously, we don't tamper with the output of the model. We don't tamper with the finished product. If we want to make changes, we can make changes only to the process. So the discretion, the intelligence, the insights all go in strategy designing, not in the output of the strategy. So if my model is telling me to buy a certain stocks, I will not overrule that based on my biases or personal views. And the whole reason to take this approach to investing is because we believe this is truly sustainable and repeatable. To take a process-driven approach to investing is much more repeatable than an individual driven approach to investing, where today I could have a certain views, I could get something right, I could get something wrong, I could not process a lot of data properly, or I could not form my insights properly. So there are multiple risks to active investing, which we want to deal with passive investing.
Since it is a PMS, Siddharth, so how do you have another question that I wish to ask is, how do you have control over subjective parameters like quality of the stocks?
So we have created, that is where the whole expertise and pedigree of PL comes in. So PL has been in business for close to 80 years. So over the years, you develop a research pedigree, you develop market insights, and you develop something I call as investing wisdom of sorts. And when we work on these strategies, we build in all these soft aspects also into the kind of indicators we are creating. We build these metrics into our models. And even on the quality front, there are multiple things. We have 32 plus quality gauging indicators that decide which stocks have a superior quality or inferior quality. And over here, I would like to also tell you that the way we look at quality or growth or valuations is a completely different lens. So we've been inspired by Einstein's theory of relativity, which says that there is nothing absolute in this world. There is no absolute frame of reference. Everything is relative. So what is good quality? What is good growth? Or what is cheap valuation for that matter? None of this can be defined on an absolute basis. Is 15% ROE sign of a good quality company? No. I would say no. I will tell you why. Because FMCG and ID companies operate at ROEs of 25% plus. Infra companies operate at an ROE sub 10%. Banks operate at an ROE between 12 to 17%. So which industry group am I looking at? I should be able to compare, right? An infra company doing ROE of 14 is excellent. But an FMCG company doing an ROE of 19 is not appreciated, right? So we look at relativity. And the way we define relativity is three barometers, right? One is versus its past. How is this company performing on multiple of these metrics versus its past, versus its peers, and versus its relationship to the broader markets? Once we get this, is that is when we say, okay, this is good quality or bad quality. When there is no growth in broader markets, 8% growth is also very healthy, right? 8% growth is very healthy. But when everything is growing at 18%, 15% growth is also not healthy. Growth is also not healthy. So everything is relative. So the way we look at quality, value, or growth is on this relative lens. And not we don't use absolute definitions, 15% ROE, 15% growth, 25%, none of that. Yes, we use ROE, cash flow, growth metrics, a lot of these metrics, but the way we use it is very different.
Sure.
And that is the reason for this alpha.
Right. So Siddharth, can you give us some sort of bird view in terms of the steps that you take or the, you know, stock selection process, if you can take us through?
Yes, I'll share some slides as well. Just give me a second.
So maybe our investors would be able to correlate.
Absolutely. Just give me a second.
So for our reviewers, let me just tell you. So basically, we are talking about how this quant strategy would help you basically to enhance your overall returns when you try to create wealth for yourself. And at the same time, how do you I mean, how do you sort of ride through this volatile journey? How do you reduce your volatility? So it not only reduces the volatility, but also help you in improve and enhance your overall returns. This is not the strategy which will only be taking care of the risk part or only be focusing on additional alpha. So it is giving you sort of comfort on both the sides. So today the idea is to understand how Siddharth is able to do so.
Perfect. Here. So I'm sharing my screen now. You can see this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So what we do here is we start with the top 500 stocks by market cap.
Sure.
We eliminate 100 stocks based on our proprietary liquidity filters. We eliminate another 100 stocks based on our proprietary fundamental filters. And when we talk about fundamental, we're basically saying companies with relatively weaker growth or companies with relatively inferior quality. We eliminate these sorts of companies and we're down to an operating universe of 300 odd companies across, right? So at step one, we go from 500 to 300 by eliminating 200 odd companies. After that, we generate sector and theme ranks for all the different sectors in India. We've created a proprietary database of 100 odd sectors and themes. We rank them all based on growth, valuation, momentum, volatility, breadth, etc. Once we've got our sector ranks, we then do style mapping. Basically, style mapping means in the current market and macro regime, what is the prevailing investment style? We don't want to stay too far away from market realities. We always want to stay aligned to market realities. Because what happens is, say if I'm taking a very quality focused approach to investing and interest rates are going up and value is likely to do better, then it's highly possible that for 2 to 3 years, my factor might underperform completely. The quality style only won't work. As a result, all investors who invested in a fund which is focused on only quality as a key factor would likely underperform. So what we do is we try to stay aligned to the market realities. So therefore, style mapping is very important. After we've done this, we arrive at stock rating. So we assign a fundamental, valuation, sector, style, technical, and risk score to each and every stock in the investment universe. Once this is done, we create the portfolio of 25 stocks with the highest multi-factor score that we can arrive at. And finally, we do risk management. And risk management is an ongoing process where we are dynamically moving between assets. In this case, assets would only refer to large, mid, small, and cash. There is no fifth asset class in Aqua. We are able to also dynamically move in and out of sectors and styles. And while doing so, we pay careful attention to managing portfolio beta as well. So at a certain point of the cycle, this would behave like a high beta strategy. At another point, this would behave like a low beta strategy. It is highly possible for us to be smart in terms of beta management. So this is the process. But the framework that we follow is very, very important. The framework is called the 6S investment framework. What we do here is we've created 6 key pillars, which we believe are a very robust sort of pillars that can help us navigate complex market cycles. So sector rotation, as I said, we believe that the wrong sector, if you get your sector wrong, even if you pick the right stock, you're not going to make too much money. But in the right sector, even if you pick a slightly mediocre stock, you will make more money. And a classic example is obviously the whole PSU, not just the banks, the whole PSU pack. Whether it's power, defense, banks, anything you see in PSUs, it has been a traditionally ignored sector. Why? No skin in the game, government orders, extended working capital cycles, lot of debt on the balance sheet, long gestation orders, lot of issues, right? So people have ignored PSUs. In the same breath, people have been very focused on IT and FMCG and companies like that, which have higher ROEs, professional management, skin in the game, high free cash flows, almost zero leverage. So these companies were always preferred, considering they were superior companies on a fundamental basis. But whoever missed getting into the right sectors at the right time would have not made enough alpha in the last 2 years. companies like an HDFC Bank or an Infosys have pretty much delivered zero returns in the last 1.5, 2 years, right? So are those companies bad? No. But if you get your sector or style call wrong, then you're not going to make money through the market cycles. And why would people still, every fund would pretty much own HDFC Bank and Infosys? Why? Lot of biases, attachment, emotions, market cap, size, benchmark weighting. There are so many reasons why these companies are in all these funds. Reliance, for that matter. Let's take all these, Reliance, Infosys, and HDFC Bank. They've delivered no special returns in the last 1.5, 2 years, but still continue to be part of most of the funds. So it's important to examine why this is really happening, right? So when we take this approach of being dynamic across sectors and styles, we are creating a benchmark agnostic portfolio, which means we don't have biases or attachment to a particular promoter group, management, or company. Neither do we have biases that, okay, this stock is there in the benchmark and therefore I must have this stock in my portfolio to match the benchmark weight or, you know, play an underweight, overweight on the stock. We don't think of sectors or stocks like that. So sector rotation is the first principle and style alignment is the second principle, where we are agnostic to all the styles. We are not saying that we prefer any one particular style over any other particular. So we are completely agnostic. We combine multiple styles using the multi-factor approach. At the same time, we tilt our portfolio to the prevailing style. So it has got an element of style tilt in it. So just to give you an example. So as per my sector model, maybe PSU banks would have come in or banks would have come in. But as per my style model, value and momentum would have been the prevailing style rather than quality. So within the banking space, I would have chosen some PSU banks over an HDFC bank or a Kotak bank. And that is what I'm precisely trying to tell you, that these two principles are very important. And finally, when the broader color of the portfolio is decided based on sector rotation and style alignment, we then move to stock picking. How do we pick stocks? We combine three things: fundamentals, valuations, and technicals. We believe all three are important to generate alpha for investors and manage risk. Only buying good companies does not make you money. Only buying cheap companies does not make you money. And only buying companies which are going up also does not only make you money. So we need to blend these three. When are we finding relatively better quality and growth companies at relatively cheaper valuations with relatively better favorable technical risk reward? When we get this based on our proprietary scoring mechanism, that is the kind time when the stock really walks into the portfolio. And once the portfolio is constructed, risk management happens on an ongoing basis. So the investment process and the investment framework is quite nicely tied in together here.
Yeah, sound interesting. You also talked about your backtesting. So can you show us the kind of returns that it has generated, maybe the last 5-10 years? And at the same time, what would have been the risk adjusted returns? So what would be the beta levels across the given Sortino ratio? Okay.
Yes. Everything that you would need is here. So we went live in middle of June. So these back tests are till that June date. So after June, we have live returns, which I will also take you guys through. And pre-June, we have back tested results. So if you look at any, you know, medium to long-term time frame, the results are north of 20%. The alpha, which I think is the most important metric for us to track, because the name of the strategy, it says adaptive, quantitative, unbiased alpha. So this is a pure alpha focused strategy, which simply means in a rising market, we want to do better than the market. And in a falling market, we want to do better than the market. And with that agenda here, if I look at, say, my 5-year returns and 5-year alpha, it's generated 13.5 net of cost, fees, etc. On a 10-year basis, it's generated close to 17.5% alpha net of cost, fees, etc. When I look at my standard deviation, so my standard deviation is slightly higher than the benchmark, but for much higher returns. And that you can own. You can see that difference only in the Sharp and Sortino. So Sortino ratio is basically telling you the returns per unit of downward volatility or downward risk. Sharp ratio tells you returns per unit of risk and volatility But in Sharpe ratio, volatility is capturing both upward and downward volatility. Sortino only captures downward volatility. So the benchmark, which is BSE 500, has a Sortino of 0.4 versus Aqua has almost more than four times at 1.8. So that is the kind of difference we see on a risk-adjusted return basis. And this is the live performance as well of the fund since we've gone live. And the interesting thing to see is, as I said, whether in July or in August or in September. So July was a fairly robust month with markets going up close to 4%. We were up close to 8.17, generating an alpha of 4. In August, surprisingly, markets were down and it was a slightly, there was pressure in the markets. Even in August, we were up 6.6%, generating an alpha of 7.24. And even in September, where the markets did fairly okay, markets were up 2%, we were up 5.6, we generated an alpha of 3.56. And between the rebalance cycles, we've done two major rebalances till now. In both the rebalances, we've generated an alpha of close to 6 to 7%. So this is the kind of live returns that we see. This is updated till 30th September.
So what is the churning ratio here, total in a year?
So the way Aqua operates is every 2 months, we rebalance our portfolio. We don't do it quarterly. We do it sub-quarterly. So every 2 months, we rebalance our portfolio and close to 30-40% of the portfolio might be churned out.
Okay, 30 to 40%, depending on the markets.
Depending on the market side. Yeah.
So these are all carried out at the PMS level. No? So advisory has nothing to do with this. Right, this is all
no, right. No, PMS. This is a pure PMS strategy.
And how much is the skin in the game? As in, how much you put your own money into the fund?
No, so we have put close to, I would like not like to disclose the amount, but yes, PL as a group, we've invested significantly in the fund as well. And in fact, for every fund that we do, we first run it for 10, at least three quarters on a prop basis before we make it open to public. So for a prop basis, we've allocated a good enough amount of capital on this before we went live. And even since we've gone live, our allocation stays put. But as we now move to the next strategy, and as this strategy is now, you know, getting the right kind of traction that we wanted, we will pull out of this and move into the next strategy as a prop testing. So we keep rotating that capital for testing purposes.
So how different it is from some of the other you know, quant management teams in India, as in there are few who have sort of moved ahead, but eventually they did not scale it up. So what could have been the reason? Or let me put it this way, that do you find systems are more efficient now, or perhaps that can give you more additional benefits to make this model successful?
So the way I look at this situation is, see, in India now, we are at a very different time than what we were 10 years back. Whether you talk about data, whether you talk about technology, or you talk about talent, we have all these three in our favor today. So maybe 10, 15 years back, the kind of technology that is available today wasn't there. The kind of talent that can play with financial subjects and combine financial domain knowledge with knowledge of technology, programming, etc. That talent is also gradually becoming more and more available in India today. So at a time like this, when data is widely available, superior technologies are available, and young talent, which is, you know, highly educated and specialized in certain fields, is available, I don't think we could have a better time in India. And just to give you the number, right, India is less than 0.5% of all assets managed quantitatively, as opposed to US, which is at 35%. So as this number, so there are multiple sources of growth here, right? The 0.5 will increase with a gain in market share, and the size of assets are also increasing. So there's a market size growth and a market share growth. So I think the next decade, you will probably, if you're speaking 10 years later, you will see a completely different picture.
Yeah. Siddharth, before we conclude, two things. One, what do you think, what can go wrong in this strategy? And this is a question that I get from my set of investors. And what is the underlying risk out?
So I've already answered your questions around risk in terms of the volatility and ratios, but I'll tell you more subjectively also. I initially also mentioned there are four sorts of risk in any equity product: systemic, sector, style, and stock. And till you have methods of dealing with these risks, I'm not saying that this portfolio can't go down or if the equity market corrects. No, this is a long-only equity product. It will operate with the market cycles. But the idea is only to fall less in a falling market and rise more in a rising market. If you're able to do this sustainably, you're actually earning alpha on both sides of the market, right? And the agenda of a strategy like this is absolutely to generate alpha. And I'll just take you through the one second. Let me just pop this one thing out. So if I look at a 5-year rolling alpha chart, what is very clearly visible is that across market cycles, the annualized average alpha, when you look at 5-year rolling returns, is anywhere between 5 to 20%. This actually covers all parameters of risk and return. And this is done since 2006. Right now, I'm only showcasing since 2011 because the first 5-year roll from 2006 ends at 2011. So that is why we're starting from 2011 and showing you that if you take a 5-year roll, I think you're going to be generating 5 to 20% sort of alpha across cycles.
And is there a limit it can generate this much amount of cash?
I told you in the 30 to 50% range.
Yeah, but it can go up to 50 also, right?
Yes,
If
it can
market
go.
demands, huh?
Yeah, it can go up to 50 also. And just one more thing, I think this also data might help to gauge the risk levels, right? So what we did is we took different time periods and we decided to calculate a ratio of how frequently we are underperforming and outperforming on a certain time period. And when we are outperforming the benchmark, we consider it as we've gone right. And we are underperforming the benchmark, we consider it as if we've gone wrong. So let's put it very simply that on a monthly basis, we get it right more than 60% of time. So this number is close to 62.8 or something. But we go wrong less than 40%. On a quarterly basis, we go right more than 70% of the time. This number is close to 73.9%. On a yearly basis, we get it right more than 85%. This realistic number is 88%. On a 3-year basis, it's more than 95%. And on a 5-year basis, as I showed you, the whole chart was green. It's actually 100%, but I've written more than 99%. So in terms of risk, I think in numbers, these are the sort of risks that every month, if you look at your portfolio, you will find that 35-40% we underperform, 60-65% we outperform. But if you look at it on a yearly basis, you will find that 85-90% we are outperforming and close to 10-15% we are underperforming. So what else is risk, right? Outperformance and underperformance only.
Yeah, got it. Number looks good. All right. So with that, we'd like to conclude the session here, Siddharth. Thank you so much for taking the time out once again and really explaining everything so patiently. So thank you for answering all the questions.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank
Thank
you.
you everyone for joining the session. And in case you have any question with regards to this, you can reach out to me at vikas@aipms.com. And we will ensure that we'll get this answered. And if needed, we'll take help of Siddharth and get these questions. Thank you.